Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's Silk and Antrim.
Oh, yeah. do we ever get tired of that? I don't think so.
No, I love it.
I really don't.
I love it.
Well, I do, too. Welcome, everybody, to the Silk and Antrim show, heard every Saturday at noon and again at 1 p.m. on the Main Street Radio Network. So glad you can be with us. And before we start our yap, blah, 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 we're gonna tell you how to get a hold of us. info@mainstreetradionetwork.com if you don't have a station in your neck of the woods, and we'll get back to you as soon as possible. But in the meantime, guess what? mainstreetradionetwork.com is totally mobile friendly. We stream live for your listening pleasure, and you can take us with you. Not only that, we podcast, and we're heard on CastBox, TuneIn, iTunes, all those other great plus places, and we also archive months of our shows on our website as well. You can go to our blogs, you can read that, you can avail yourself of our Facebook and Twitter on our homepage, and we're not just a programming house that delivers great programming nationwide, not only the Silk and Antrim show, but the Alan Nathan show. We also are an advertising agency, consultancy firm. We do copywriting, voiceovers, social media, all kinds of great stuff. So you never know what we're going to get into. And also, let's thank, right, Kaz? We got to thank the great team of Main Street Radio Network.
Oh, we have such a fantastic team.
Yes, we do.
I was laughing at, you never know what we get into.
No.
Trouble is what it is. That's what we get into.
Yeah, especially when you and Alan leave me alone to get up to my own devices, then we know we have problems. Also, too, let's give a great, great shout out and how blessed we are to have great distributors of Salem Radio Network and the guy at the other end of this microphone that keeps it all running for us and together, Mr. Derek Anderson. I am bowing to you, sir. It's always an honor to work with you. You are fantastic. And to Bobby, Yolanda, and all the other great folks at Salem, thank you so much. Main Street is going to be entering her 11th year. Oh, my God. Or 9th year, 10th year, 11th year, 10th year, 11th year. Oh, my gosh.
We're almost all grown up.
Yes, I know. We are, really. We can't blame it on being kids anymore, can we? You know, there's just so much going on out here. We've got some great stuff coming on the show. Later on in the show, you're going to hear about vaccines. We've got a guest talking about the state of West Virginia, which is only like the third or fourth state in the nation that does not give families choices for their kids. It's a mandatory that when you have to go to school, you got to get vaccines. But our first guest, I'm really, really excited to talk with him. Saw him on Tucker Carlson this week. Eric Edgars, research director of Peter Schweitzer's Government Accountability Institute and author of the now new book that's just going bananas, Fraud, How the Left Plans to Steal the Next Election. Eric, thank you so much for coming on such short notice. We're so glad to have you.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Great to be here.
Yeah, great interview, by the way, with Tucker Carlson this week. And as everybody is sitting tight, you know, about the recount in Florida that happened this past week, we also know that Palm Beach County and Broward County used to live in Florida for over 10 years, missed the deadlines, and apparently isn't the deadline this Sunday. I believe Rick Scott, former governor, going up against Ben Nelson. There's like, you know, a million to one odds that the recount would even go anywhere near the votes needed to put him over the top. I think maybe one other time did an election actually overturn somebody's win in the last 15 years.
We've got the caravan climbing over the wall, and I hear they're all headed to Broward County to place their votes in the last election. So that's the update. I'm making a joke.
That's obviously the concern, right? It's a great point you raised.
Yes.
Yeah, we have you know,
false signatures, and illegals. Correct, Eric?
Well, we know that illegal votes have been counted in Broward County. The Broward County Supervisor of Elections, Dr. Brenda Snipes, has admitted that she was incapable of keeping the legal ballot separate from the illegal ballot once the envelopes were opened, and so they all came together. And she's like, well, I guess we'll just count them all. And so we know illegal ballots will be counted as part of this recount process. It's not going to be enough to swing the governor's race, although as of right now, the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, Andrew Gillum, has yet to concede because they're still waiting on a Saturday, an extended deadline Saturday to see if they had, you know, the ballots with the signatures didn't match. They're waiting to get those together. But yeah, but I think the much more compelling race right now is the Senate race between Republican Governor Rick Scott and current incumbent Democrat Senator Bill Nelson, because what they're doing is it's 12,000 votes, but Bill Nelson's lawyers are basically like looking under every couch cushion, looking in every trunk of a car of an elections office, right? They're looking everywhere they can to find as many ballots. And oh, by the way, you know, they're picking and choosing which laws they want to be followed, because they
exactly. Well, aren't they Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
These lawyers were from Hillary Clinton.
It's a great point. Yeah, Mark Elias, who worked mm-hmm. for not only Hillary Clinton in the 2016 election, but has worked for a number of entities funded by George Soros. And he's actually represented ahead of the 2016 election. This is one of the examples I talk about in my book. He represented an organization in Ohio that later would have an employee arrested for voter fraud.
Well, let me ask you something. How could Dr. Brenda Snipes, and she is a doctor, oh, my goodness, how could this woman who's been admonished and who a judge has said has done illegal things, how is she still a Broward County election supervisor? You know, I am floored that Florida has had some of the worst recounts and some of the worst problems with, you know, people who shouldn't be voting. And here we are in 2018. Do we really have to be worried about paper ballots not being counted, voting machines going haywire? I mean, come on. Are we not, when you can do over a billion transactions on the stock market in 1 second and we can't get our votes right? And we have to worry about illegals voting, people whose names don't match the registers. I mean, come on. What is this here?
No, it's a great point. You know, so there's two reasons why I think that Brenda Snipes is still in office. Because obviously with all the things that come up, and this is a woman whose track record includes admitting to allowing illegal immigrants and felons to vote previously.
That's right.
She's illegally destroyed ballots. She's even opened the ballots illegally and mm-hmm. Was pressed on it by a judge, like, why are you opening the ballots outside the presence of these other elections officials? She said, well, you know, I guess I didn't know what the word canvassing meant, because you're supposed to wait for the canvassing
and
board.
And she's a doctor, right?
Present.
Sure.
And she is a doctor, although not of elections. So, but I think there's two reasons, right, why she's still in office. Number one is because, let's face it, I think there's an element of political correctness here, right? I mean, Rick Scott, who's a Republican governor, did not want to be seen, didn't want the blowback of, you know, being seen as a racist for removing the African-American woman who's in charge of
right
in Broward County.
Yep.
And, because Jeb Bush replaced Brenda Snipes' predecessor back in 2003 because she'd done such a bad job. She had a $500,000 deficit. And actually, when Brenda Snipes' predecessor, who was also an African-American woman, was escorted from her office for being so incompetent, they actually found in her desk drawer stacks of uncounted ballots from the 2002 election.
Why are we still talking about black and white, though? I mean, come on.
Unbelievable.
She is a person, and she is a Broward County election supervisor. I don't care if she's green, purple, and rainbow color. It doesn't matter to me. And anybody who says that somebody from another color removing somebody of another color is a racist is in and of itself a racist remark. And at this particular point, we need accountability, and we're not getting accountability. How dare people think that it's kosher for people whose signatures don't match, who shouldn't be on the voters' rolls, or illegals voting in our election? That is a constitutional right that we as citizens have to protect our persons, property, and our votes. And this has really, really gone beyond the pale at this point.
Well, you're absolutely right, but there's a second reason why I think Brenda Snipes has remained in office, and this one actually I think you'll feel a little bit better about. It's a little bit more subversive. So, I mean, let's remember, Broward County is the second most populous county in the state of Florida, and it's heavily Democratic. So, you know, this is a reliable bank of Democratic votes every time you have a major election. Well, if you're a Republican, you know, maybe there's not worse things than having someone who's not great at their job, and their job is to turn out the voters in your county, which happen to be heavily Democrat. So, I mean, consider this. Rick Scott currently has a 12,000-vote margin in the state of Florida. Well, there's 20,000 they're now proceeding because the race is within this 0.25% threshold, which triggers the automatic hand recount. So they're going to be doing this hand recount. One of the categories that they're looking at are called undervotes, or which ballots in which people voted for other races but not for the Senate race. And so there are 20,000 undervotes in Broward County. And so the question becomes, well, are these true undervotes? Are these people that didn't actually vote, or did something happen? Did the scanner just not pick it up correctly, or whatever it is? And in Broward County, they appear to be true undervotes. And the reasoning, because on the Broward County ballot, the instructions for how to fill out the ballot were on the left-hand column. And immediately under the instructions was the first race, which was the Senate race.
Right.
So the thinking is that 20,000 Broward County voters didn't vote in the Senate race because they thought that the Senate race was just part of the instructions on the ballot. So,
it's actually possible,
and I think quite honestly, it's probably true that if Rick Scott wins, he's probably going to win in part because of the incompetence of Broward County, because of the ballot design that somehow confused 20,000 Broward County voters.
Eric, we're up against a hard break here. That's what that music's telling us. Darn it, we've got to have you back. You're really fascinating.
Oh, please, after the holiday, after Thanksgiving, we hope to have you come back and give us what your view is about this election.
Absolutely. This is Silk and Antrim, the Main Street Radio Network.
In light of increasing national student debt, research proves that over the course of a career, college graduates earn $1 million more than high school graduates without a degree. Dr. Lori M. Joyner, president of St. Xavier University, shares what education means for college students of tomorrow.
According to the U.S. Department of Labor, college degrees are among the single best predictor of both employment as well as high earnings. At St. Xavier University, 100% of our nursing students and 9 out of 10 of our business and arts and sciences majors are employed or continuing their education shortly after graduation. Our approach at St. Xavier really prepares students to successfully enter the job market. And quite simply, higher education is still a great investment because it opens the doors to future lucrative opportunities.
For more information, go to sxu.edu.
Between the change of seasons and holiday stress, we're bound to get sick this time of year. Dr. Victoria Dooley has tips to keep you healthy.
Joint aches and pains are common complaints when we have cold winter weather and rainy days. Camiflex is a potent botanical blend proven effective in improving joint health, available at GNC. And also, since we're not eating as healthy during the holiday, digestive issues are common, like constipation and straining, which can lead to hemorrhoids. Preparation H is the number one doctor recommended OTC hemorrhoid brand with an assortment of creams and wipes for home and on the go this season. And while kids are spending more time indoors, lice can easily be spread with head-to-head contact, and you don't want to be caught off guard. One Cure from Lice Clinics of America is available on Amazon. It is a non-toxic, FDA-cleared heated air device and is guaranteed to kill lice and their eggs in just one treatment.
For more health information, go to cdc.gov.
Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Jason Derulo. I love that music connects to people all over the country. But unfortunately, so does something else. Childhood hunger. 15 million kids struggle with hunger right here in America. And yet, every year, billions of pounds of surplus food in the U.S. go to waste instead of going to the children in need. Feeding America is working to change this. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks rescues this surplus of food to help provide meals to families in virtually every community in the United States, including yours. But they just can't do this alone. Join me in the fight against hunger in America. For more information on what you can do to get involved, visit feedingamerica.org. That's feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together, we're feeding America. A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to the Silk and Antrim Show every Saturday at noon and again at 1 p.m. And if you don't have a station near you, email us at info@mainstreetradionetwork.com and we'll tell you where you can go and get one. But in the meantime, we stream live, www.mainstreetradionetwork.com, and you can listen to the show, and we're totally mobile friendly, so you can take us with you. And we podcast and we archive months of our shows up there. So if you missed one or if you like one particular show, well, there it will be for you to look at. My co-host, Kathleen, has a little bit of technical difficulties. We're hoping she'll be able to come back in and join us in this segment. If not, well, we'll just continue on. Our next guest is Richard Urban. He's co-founder and owner of Urban Grocery LLC and Urban Life. It's an online ordering system that is used by vendors throughout the United States. I do know Richard personally. It's great to have him on. And Richard, how are you?
Good, good. Hi, Jane.
How you doing?
Good.
Your topic that has really gotten you crazy, besides your great online ordering system for everybody, is vaccines. You're very much a supporter of this subject. Tell us why you're so adamant about vaccines.
Well, here in West Virginia, for instance, you know, vaccines are required for school attendance, and we have 45 doses of 14 vaccines. So I believe strongly.
Wait a minute. When you say, let me just interrupt. What did you say? 44 or 14
different. Parents are required to give their children if they want to attend school.
Yeah, but you said different vaccines. What do you mean different? You mean all these children have to get all these different vaccines?
Yes, in West Virginia, there are 14 vaccines required, and that's 45 doses.
Holy Emmy! Now, what happens? Like, if you had vaccines when you were born, if you had measles or smallpox vaccines or other vaccines, do those count?
Yeah, I'm talking totally from birth to through school age.
Okay,
because you know some are required for preschool attendance. So basically, you know, I believe 47 states allow you to opt out. You know, your body, I mean, your rights are basically given by God. So, you shouldn't be forced to inject dangerous substances.
Richard, if you're going to go to a school, it's a difference if you're homeschool, though. What do you say to people I'm being a devil's advocate here. What do you say to people who say, look, you know, my child might have been born with an autoimmune inflammatory disease. Very easy for that person to get sick. If kids are not vaccinated against certain, you know, mainstays, what happens to those, you know, who could get sick very easily from those who did not ever have a vaccine?
Mm-hmm. Well, basically, I mean, the usual argument is something like, you know, herd immunity or this kind of thing, which is, you know, not really a clear concept. Though, what is it, 80%, 90% of people? Well, basically, I think there's three main points. I mean, there's personal religious freedom. I think vaccines have been declared by the vaccine court that was established in 1986 with the Vaccine Safety Act as being inherently unsafe, and they've given billions in damages. Doctors are supposed to do no harm. So, I mean, some of these vaccines, like hepatitis B is required in West Virginia. That's sexually transmitted, and it's required at age 2 months to no later than 5 years. So why are we require that, for instance? And even things like hepatitis A, which is caused by, you know, poor sanitation and you know, feces. So a lot of this is also brings us to the third point, is a money grab. It's like conflicts of interest. So as far as people going to a school and some child's not vaccinated, well, first of all, they're saying that everybody has to be vaccinated. And then one of the arguments is, what if my kid isn't vaccinated? He might get this disease. It doesn't really, it's not a sound argument. And also, the more people are getting killed by the serious adverse reactions.
Well, like do you have any statistics, Richard, about in the state of West Virginia how many children have actually died from this many vaccines?
Right. So in let's see, I have the United States and West Virginia statistics.
Okay, so what is in the United States? What's the total for the United States?
I have 13,560 deaths recorded on the adverse reaction, the VAERS adverse reaction database, but that's probably really, that's cumulative since they've been recording that for like 21 years.
So you're saying in 21 years, 13,000 children have died from adverse effects?
Well, that's reported. People okay. say things are underreported from anywhere okay. from 5 right. to 20 times.
Okay.
And then for some diseases, say like for, say, measles. You know, you had measles probably when you were in school,
yes,
right?
Yes, I sure, well, I had measles. Yes, I did have measles, yes.
But now it's thought to be so terribly serious that, you know, if you don't get vaccinated, you know, that's a terrible crime, at least in West Virginia and other states like California. But only three states don't allow you to opt out. But anyway, the point about it is, so pre-vaccine, about 300 deaths per year in the United States were recorded from measles, for instance. But also from the, now they combine it into triple vaccine, measles, mumps, and rubella. So that now also there are about the same number of deaths or a little more. I have 380. Of course, that's not exact number.
Right.
From the vaccine, and then there's a lot of other issues of the vaccine. There's also many, many serious adverse reactions which require hospitalization, depending on the vaccine. But, yeah, so it's really, I think there's huge conflicts of interest in the vaccine industry.
So, in other words, you're saying that the state of West Virginia, along with pharmaceutical companies, are forcing parents to, A, pay those costs, and also that it's, in essence, you're saying that the system is rigged in West Virginia.
Yeah, I mean, effectively, companies like Merck and different large companies don't have to advertise if the state does the work for them, in the sense of it mandates. And, you know, some like the Dr. Tom Takubo has been blocking legislation from coming to the health committee. Unfortunately, he's just reelected. But and he's a doctor. And the American Medical Association says there's absolutely no, they support zero exemptions from any vaccine. So
now, what about the statistics, Richard? What about the statistics of children that were vaccinated and still died from one of these, you know, diseases like measles or chickenpox, or children that were not vaccinated and died?
Right.
Are the numbers similar?
I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm not sure how many children who were vaccinated died.
Okay. So what you're saying is children had. You're saying before that. You don't have the difference. You know, I think parents do have a right to decide for their child. But again, you know, when you put children in a large group, you know certain of these diseases are contagious. And if the child is vaccinated against measles or certain other ones, sometimes they won't get them. So are you totally against all vaccinations for children, or are you making it the parents' choice is what you're actually saying?
Well, it has to be the parents' choice. They have to weigh the risks and benefits. The problem now is and think about it, 47 states give exemptions, but why not West Virginia and Mississippi and California?
Well, that's a good question. That's a good question, and we'll have to look into that. Maybe we can have you back on. We can look into that and discuss more. We're up against a hard break. Richard Urban, co-founder and owner of Urban Grocery and Urban Life. Their online ordering system is used by vendors throughout the U.S. Thanks, Richard, for being with us and
fall
giving us
full
your
of
insights.
Fun activities, but it's also the start of cold and flu season. A new survey by Mucinex finds more than 158 million Americans are willing to hide being sick so they don't miss out on activities. But more than 82% say people should just stay home if they're sick. This winter, the superheroes who stay home and the ones who keep up their secret sick identities have a new weapon, Mucinex Cold and Flu All-in-One, a multi-symptom formula that targets and alleviates 9 different cold and flu symptoms. Actress Minka Kelly admits that she, too, has hidden being sick to power through her busy schedule.
I'm working and doing a lot of traveling, and because of that, I can't afford to get sick. So I'm really excited to team up with Mucinex. Instead of bringing on this secret sick identity, we can go to Mucinex Cold and Flu All-in-One to relieve ourselves of 9 symptoms of cold and flu and get us back to our hero self.
Mucinex Cold and Flu All-in-One is now available at local retailers in-store and online. For more information, visit Mucinex.com. And follow the brand on social media at twitter.com/Mucinex.
When thinking about the holiday season, thoughts of beautifully packaged gifts, glittering holiday decorations, and lively family gatherings immediately come to mind. Or do they? A new survey from Coinstar reveals dirty little holiday secrets that may be surprising. Holiday time is for families. Turns out, not all agree. According to the survey, 1 in 5 actually prefer time alone or spending the holiday with friends instead of family. And when it comes to gift giving, 1 in 4 treat gift giving as a sport, admitting to being competitive when it comes to giving presents to family and friends. Another dirty little secret is that a majority re-gift during the holidays, but only 1 in 5 said they feel guilty about it. In addition, the majority of gift givers said they have a holiday gift buying budget, with about half of respondents reporting they plan to spend between $100 and $400 on holiday gift purchases. Those who need a holiday budget boost are turning to their coin jar, and more than half plan on cashing in spare change to help pay for holiday gifts this season. To find a Coinstar kiosk location near you, visit Coinstar.com.
Social Security provides important financial assistance to women in times of need, including a sudden illness or an injury leading to disability. While many illnesses and injuries are difficult or impossible to prevent, there are steps that women can take to help prevent some health issues so that they can live longer and healthier lives. In order to address these concerns in one place, we have a website designed for women that provides pertinent information to women regarding Social Security services. This website includes information that may be particularly useful to working women, women who receive Social Security benefits, brides, new mothers, wives, divorced women, caregivers, and widows. Our website for women provides information on retirement, survivors, disability, and supplemental security income benefits. Our website also contains links to Social Security publications relevant to women's issues. You can visit our website for women at www.socialsecurity.gov/people/women.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. If you're a veteran with a disability, are you interested in a program that could give you a free home? Homes for Our Troops is a privately funded 501c3 nonprofit organization that builds and donates specially adapted custom homes nationwide for severely injured post-9/11 veterans to enable them to rebuild their lives. These homes restore some of the freedom and independence our veterans sacrificed while defending our country and enable them to focus on their family and recovery. Since its inception in 2004, nearly 90 cents of every dollar has gone directly to the program to serve veterans. HFOT builds these homes where the veterans choose to live and continues its relationship with the veterans after the home delivery to assist them in rebuilding their lives. For more information, go to their website, www.hfotusa.org, and see if you can qualify for the home of your dreams. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. With millions of YouTube views, shares, Instagram likes, followers, and fans across the globe. But what do all these amazing pets have in common? Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a shelter or adoptable pets near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard? Well, that's entirely up to you. Visit theshelterpetproject.org and hear more about Hamilton the Pug, Toast, and Keyboard Cat's amazing adoption stories. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Your perfect pet is just a click away at theshelterpetproject.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Yeah. You know, we're live, you know.
And we're on air, you know.
Does it really matter? I don't think so. Hey, everybody. We just have so much fun talking with you all. Thank you so much for being with us. You're listening to the Main Street Radio Network, the Silk and Antrim Show, every Saturday at noon and again at 1 p.m. What a great interview we had before with Mr. Eric Eggers. You know, he was on Tucker Carlson this past week, and it's really good. Hey, and folks, if you want to hear, read a really good book, or if you know somebody who's really into politics, get Fraud, How the Left Plans to Steal the Next Election.
Fantastic book.
Yeah, it's a really, really interesting read. There's just so much to talk about, but before we, you know, the last election, everybody thought was a referendum on the president, and it was a blue dribble, a tickle, not a wave. And of
barely,
course, with
yes.
Yeah, really. And with some of the people who, you know, who got elected, like, you know, Alexandria, you know, Ocasio-Cortez from New York.
Yeah, she wants to be inaugurated.
Yeah, I know. And what she doesn't realize on January 3rd. And she's also bitching about the fact that, you know, she hasn't gotten her government salary yet, so she can't afford the apartments in D.C. And, you know, how are we going to pass like $32 trillion worth of her reforms that she wants, that she thinks she's going to go into? She says she's going to be inaugurated on the 3rd, go to work on the 4th, and the 5th we're going to sign bills. Oh, really? She is part of
the 25%. And she's already been protesting Nancy Pelosi, too.
She's part of the 25% of this country, mostly millennials, who don't know that there are three branches of government. Okay, executive powers, you know, all that good stuff. But, you know, it's just amazing.
How did she get elected? This is mind-boggling.
She comes from my home state of New York, and oh my god.
It's just frightening. It's absolutely frightening.
It is absolutely frightening.
The level of ignorance and incompetence. And she has a degree from, I believe, Boston College. If I was Boston College, I'd be asking for that degree back.
Yeah, I mean, me too. And also,
really,
I think she did some economic courses as well, and she must have been totally asleep there. But you know what really strikes me is the fact that the midterms are over. So hang on to your seats, folks. If you think you know, got bombarded during the midterm elections, the next election is already started, 2020 presidential. And of course, they do it for Congress all over again. But, you know, what I really want to talk about, first of all, you're out on the left coast. So sorry. I love you, but so sorry. And I just, we want to send, Kathy and I want to send, you know, prayers to all the families, you know, who have lost, you know, 63 families that have lost relatives, and the count's not over. And we just, it's just heartbreaking that in 2018, which has been one of the most destructive wildfire seasons on record in California, with over 7,579 fires burning in an area of 1.667885 million acres, the largest amount of burned acreage in California history, or probably in the country history. What's really horrible, and I'm sorry, it's not that, you know, America, we have the biggest hearts in the world. You know, everybody's going to help. But I'm getting tired of California thinking that, or being run by the environmentalists, where they don't allow brush to be burned in controlled fires. And they don't realize that century-old forests and vacant lands that have had trees drop branches and leaves and brush in those that catch fire. Like, you just look at it and it catches fire. And like you said earlier on the break, people don't even have time to get out of the way of these fires. And they won't do controlled burns.
It burns so fast. Oh, no.
I know.
And it's just, I mean, right now, it's just tragic. And like Jane was saying, we really do want to send our prayers out to all the people who've lost homes and family. There's still 600 and, well over 600 people still missing and unaccounted for. And, I mean, paradise is gone. The whole town is gone.
27,000, a town of 27,000 people have lost their homes. So many have died. And, you know, insurance companies, look, you know, it's a ripple. It's a domino effect. When catastrophe happens, the dominoes fall. Okay. And what happens is others in other parts of the country will have their rates increase slightly, because how can insurance companies keep, you know, bailing out a state that, you know, have people who lose everything and not be able to recoup some of that money from somewhere, okay? Those premiums now that they might have been paying for 20 years are all going to be, of course, eaten up with whatever they didn't use up. But then also the federal government, the people of California, their taxes, you know, are bailing out a state and federal dollars. And I find that very, very upsetting, because they could be controlled. These fires that have controlled burns could wind up easing these forest fires and all these burning acres in California if they would just let people, scientists, firefighters, and environmentalists as well, do what they're supposed to do to control these burns. It happens all over the country, but in California, no. Environmentalists stand ground. They won't allow this to happen. How dare they? But yet we have to pay for it? We have to pay for their ignorance?
Well, and a part of it is, too, I believe, because we are a sanctuary state out here, you know, the federal government, Trump has cut funding, which, you know, that's really the only way to fight being a sanctuary state, which is against the law, or many laws, actually. And so, of course, you know, California, the politicians are claiming that that money, because it was cut, you know, they're not responsible for that, which is just such a joke because they are responsible for that.
Really?
But they're claiming that's why, you know, things were not handled appropriately. All I know is we've got
this time,
so many
people.
But
what about last year's? What about last year's fire in Sonoma County, and in that part of California, the northern part of California, that burned over 6,200 homes and people would die.
Right.
So they that funding wasn't cut then or the year before. You see what it is look at San Francisco.
It's just blame game.
Oh yeah, exactly. A beautiful city. You know, to look at, you know, with the beautiful bridge, and now you can't see it.
Not
it's
so
in a
much.
Cloud of smoke. Because
but the sanctuary city situation has turned it into a third world city. I mean, it's just literally, I had a friend in from New York last weekend, as a matter of fact, who I picked up in the city and took her to wine country. But we were driving out and she said, I cannot believe this is San Francisco. It is just hideous because we've got people just living on the streets wherever. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they're not employed and
they're too expensive to live.
And yes, but they're all flocking there because it's a sanctuary city and we've got tent cities all over the sidewalks. I mean, it's just it gotten so ridiculous. The hotels are
and
now handing out maps.
And needles,
yes.
Feces and needles and things like that. We saw it when we were there in December last year and because we drove through San Francisco. And
that's right.
You know, we stopped to get some tea and drinks and coffee and stuff. And I wouldn't even get out of the car. I mean, it was unbelievable. I couldn't believe what was on the streets. And in a city that I've been to a number of times that, like I said, you know, politics, people don't understand that. You know, people have choices, okay? But their choices should not be other people's reason.
Burden.
Right, exactly. And that is not fair. California is draining this country, draining the country's resources. They sent the super tanker. There's a super tanker airplane, the biggest in the world, super tanker, you know, filled with water, of course, to help, you know, with the fires, which it should be. But all the resources that are being used for this fire and our people are flocking to California to help, which God bless them to do that. But just think about other parts of the country that are not being served. At one point, somebody's got to grow a big, huge, bloody pear and say, you know what, California environmentalists, you sit tight, you be quiet. We've got to go because what's going to be left now? I mean, Malibu homes. I heard Kim Kardashian and Kanye West hired their own firefighting team to save their home.
And you can't blame them at all because everybody, it's all hands on deck right now.
But who's going to be their neighbors?
Contained.
Scorched land?
Oh,
you know, their house might
exactly
be safe.
Exactly right. Yeah, you know? No, that's exactly right. They're going to be looking at
and who
you
wants
know,
to live in that area
fields.
Right now? With it's going to take years. First of all, the trees that are burnt are not going to be able to grow back, especially on those lands that are really badly scorched for centuries. Okay, so hello, environmentalists. The trees that help the air and help everything are not going to be able to look at what it's lost. And not only that, the air quality. That air quality that is being sent over 100 to 200 miles away from these fires and that are impacting elderly people, children with respiratory problems.
Even just the average Joe, because I can tell you where I live right now, you can't go outside. Everybody who's out walking their dogs, etc., has masks on. People just are everywhere.
Are they
with
putting
masks
on their puppies, I hope?
No, they're not, which, you know, what's wrong with this picture? I know. And they've canceled school today in my community because the air quality is so poor that they've had to cancel the school.
Well, look,
kids.
One of our segments yesterday, you couldn't be on because, today actually, you couldn't be on because, you know, the lines, and the cables and everything are getting scorched and what have you. I mean, thank God we were able to, you know, get you back. But, you know, it's so sad, Kathleen. It really is sad that, you know, in this day and age, we have political groups.
It didn't need to happen. This did not need to happen.
No, it really didn't. And and that is very, very sad. And again, we, you know, our heartfelt sympathies and everything go out. And we've donated clothes and other things. And people, you know, if you've got or whatever you have, you know, go to your charities and what have you and, you know, help
needed.
Out.
It's definitely needed.
Yes,
absolutely.
Absolutely.
This is the Silk and Antrim Show. I'm Kathleen Antrim here with Jane Silk.
Yes, ma'am.
Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. A lot more to come. This is the Main Street Radio Network. Don't believe me, just watch.
Fall is full of fun activities, but it's also the start of cold and flu season. A new survey by Mucinex finds more than 158 million Americans are willing to hide being sick so they don't miss out on activities. But more than 82% say people should just stay home if they're sick. This winter, the superheroes who stay home and the ones who keep up their secret sick identities have a new weapon. Mucinex Cold and Flu All-in-One, a multi-symptom formula that targets and alleviates 9 different cold and flu symptoms. Actress Minka Kelly admits that she, too, has hidden being sick to power through her busy schedule.
I'm working and doing a lot of traveling, and because of that, I can't afford to get sick. So I'm really excited to team up with Mucinex. Instead of bringing on this secret sick identity, we can go to Mucinex Cold and Flu All-in-One to relieve ourselves of 9 symptoms of cold and flu and get us back to our hero self.
Mucinex Cold and Flu All-in-One is now available at local retailers in-store and online. For more information, visit Mucinex.com and follow the brand on social media at twitter.com/Mucinex.
When thinking about the holiday season, thoughts of beautifully packaged gifts, glittering holiday decorations, and lively family gatherings immediately come to mind. Or do they? A new survey from Coinstar reveals dirty little holiday secrets that may be surprising. Holiday time is for families. Turns out, not all agree. According to the survey, 1 in 5 actually prefer time alone or spending the holiday with friends instead of family. And when it comes to gift giving, 1 in 4 treat gift giving as a sport, admitting to being competitive when it comes to giving presents to family and friends. Another dirty little secret is that a majority re-gift during the holidays, but only 1 in 5 said they feel guilty about it. In addition, the majority of gift givers said they have a holiday gift buying budget, with about half of respondents reporting they plan to spend between $100 and $400 on holiday gift purchases. Those who need a holiday budget boost are turning to their coin jar, and more than half plan on cashing in spare change to help pay for holiday gifts this season. To find a Coinstar kiosk location near you, visit Coinstar.com.
Nothing can guarantee smooth holiday travel, but there are a few things you can do to make it more enjoyable and family-friendly. It's a matter of planning and having the right technology. An early stocking stuffer can help make that trip fun and stress-free, especially when traveling with children. Lifestyle expert Janneke Bloom has tips for avoiding those are-we-there-yet moments.
With kids, you want to avoid boredom. Aside from snacks, I always recommend surprising kids with a new game or even an early holiday gift at the beginning of the trip. For older kids, technology is the way to go. I like the new Alcatel 7 phone. It's a great option because it won't break the bank. It has all the bells and whistles of more expensive phones with a 6-inch full HD plus display, all-day battery, and a cool feature that I like, the Alcatel exclusive Closer TV app, which gathers all your favorite online streaming services and cable TV in one place. Most importantly, don't forget to charge all electronic devices the night before and charge extra battery packs.
For more information, visit Alcatel7.com.
Between the change of seasons and holiday stress, we're bound to get sick this time of year. Dr. Victoria Dooley has tips to keep you healthy.
Joint aches and pains are common complaints when we have cold winter weather and rainy days. Tamiflex is a potent botanical blend proven effective in improving joint health, available at GNC. And also, since we're not eating as healthy during the holiday, digestive issues are common, like constipation and straining, which can lead to hemorrhoids. Preparation H is the number one doctor recommended OTC hemorrhoid brand with an assortment of creams and wipes for home and on the go this season. And while kids are spending more time indoors, lice can easily be spread with head-to-head contact, and you don't want to be caught off guard. One Cure from Lice Clinics of America is available on Amazon. It is a non-toxic, FDA-cleared heated air device and is guaranteed to kill lice and their eggs in just one treatment.
For more health information, go to cdc.gov.
Hitting the open road in an RV has been an increasingly popular vacation option with families. As the springtime approaches, the idea of exploring the country in full bloom has encouraged many families to begin planning an RV travel adventure. Misty Wells is a travel expert who believes living the outdoor life helps her keep a healthy connection with her 2 children. From fishing to paddleboarding to kayaking, Misty and her family do it all. For anyone who wants to experience the outdoors but isn't sure how, Misty offers the following tips.
Try renting an RV first before you take the plunge and get a sense of how it feels and whether it's right for you and your family. Then find a local campground and talk to your neighbors about their RVs. With more than 18,000 campgrounds in the U.S. at vineyards, beaches, and mountains, there are tons of options to fit any family's interests.
To take the first step toward your family's RVing adventure, visit GoRVing.com. That's GoRVing.com.
Grooving.
Yeah. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Silk and Antrim Show. And yes, yes, we are here to entertain and infotain. I don't know. Is that a word? Infotain?
Oh, well, it's our word.
It's our word, yeah.
We're here to inform, to entertain and inform.
Yeah, and anyway, everybody speaks Jane, right?
I would hope so.
I hope so.
They need to catch up if they don't.
Yeah, really. Hey, everybody, visit our great website at www.mainstreetradionetwork.com, and you can catch the Silk and Antrim Show there live on Saturdays at noon and again at 1 p.m. You can stream us live. We podcast or at a radio station near you. If you don't have one, well, I do declare you can always email us at info@mainstreetradionetwork.com, and we'll tell you where you can get a station. We're just going to hurry up here because we've got this great interview that both Kathy and I have been dying to do. America.
I'm so excited about this.
Oh my God, yes. America in Color. It's from the golden age of Hollywood to the wild, wild west, organized crime. And guess what? This is season two, congratulations, of the Smithsonian Channel series, which explores some of the most significant moments in American history. And guess what? It's in color for the first time. And we are so excited to have the executive producers for this show for Arrow Media, Nick Metcalf and Lucy Ridout. Did I pronounce that right or wrong?
It's Ridout.
Oh, good, good. Hey, guys, thank you so, so much for being here. We are so excited. This show, by the way, premieres tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Sunday at 8 p.m. So you know what? Everybody's got a mobile. Everybody's got calendars on their phones and their computer. So you can just go ahead and, put that in there as a reminder. I just want to let you know real quick, Nick has worked on projects for Investigation Discovery, Animal Planet, National Geographic, with his most recent project being season two of this great show, America in Color, which premieres on Sunday. And Lucy is executive producer for Arrow Media as well. And she has been producer on projects for the BBC, Channel 4 in the UK, great station, Discovery Channel, and National Geographic, with her most recent project being, of course, the Smithsonian Channel's season two of America in Color. Welcome, you guys. You know, Kathy and I really want to know, I mean, this, you're going back in history and putting this all in color. What did that mean? Did it change some of your views? What made you decide to do this?
The channel, we went to the channel a couple of years back because we found a team who were doing really high quality colorizing, and we put it to the channel, and Smithsonian wanted to run with it. And so we did the first season, which looks at American history decade by decade from the 1920s to the 1960s. And that worked really well, and the audience loved it. And so the channel came back to us, and we wanted to take a different approach. So instead of doing it decade by decade, we were going to look at certain theme stories. So the stories you've mentioned, the Wild West, which is the one that premieres tomorrow night. And we look at organized crime and titans of industry. It's a very different way of looking at American history, a way of getting into the story of how America has changed itself and the world. We're British. We're not American. But the world that some of these American pioneers created has changed our world, too. So it's fascinating for us to work on.
Kat?
This is just... So I'm so excited about this.
Me too. I can't wait.
I think we're going to get a glimpse of things that even though many of us, kind of know about in the back of our minds, we haven't thought about for a long time. And I think it's one of those moments where you can look back and go through this in history and think about, how far we've come as a nation and maybe how much further we still have to go. But I want to talk about something that's near and dear to my heart, and that is the Wild West. I'm out here in California. So what kinds of things will we see when you say we're going to get glimpses of this?
Some things never change.
Some things never change, unfortunately. But anyway, so what kinds of things are you pulling from to create this?
The Wild West is my personal favorite episode. Partly because the landscapes just look terrific when they've been colorized. I mean, we know, because you live there. how wonderful the landscapes look. They didn't look so good in black and white. You have to imagine. But when you see them colorized, they just look terrific. But one of the things that really struck me when we were making this episode is how some things don't change. One of the big stories in the Wild West, the opening of the West, was how people had to struggle for water.
Right.
Or not enough, and it's not in the right places. And one of the stories is the opening up of the waterways, creation of the dams, the water, the irrigation, what it did, how it transformed the landscape. And we know that water is still a big story in the West. So some things don't change.
Well, let me ask you. Certainly is. I mean, we're going through a drought as well right now.
Well,
I'm sorry,
you always
go
through a drought there. But Lucy, let me ask you something. What was it like? You say that you dug through, and having worked in the film industry in actually Britain and the Middle East, you say you dug through 23 miles. I mean, figure this out, folks. I mean, I run every day a couple miles, but 23 miles of historical and private footage. What was that like going through all that footage and deciding exactly the scenes that you were going to use for this incredible series of season two?
Well, I think what's really exciting is you don't start with just a box of tapes. You start trying to find the stories that are in there, and you're trying to find stories that are going to work, and there are well-known archive sources that have stuff that we use. But I think the most exciting is when you can find someone's home movies that haven't been seen before. So you're saying you really like the Wild West. In there is we were looking at stories for the Osage Nation American Indians, and they actually had a section from the 1920s and 30s, and we spoke directly with them, and we spoke with the family members, and they sent copies to us, and we transferred them, and they were happy for them to be colorized. And that's a really magical moment, because you're bringing real stories of real people who are living in America through this time, and you're sharing them with everybody. And that's the most special thing. It's not the quantity, but it's those little stories and the people who live through it, and sharing that with everybody is really special.
Is there a website you guys have, or is that people can go to if they just want to know more about this?
The Smithsonian Channel web pages will have all of the details and supporting footage, little stories about how we do the colorizing.
Oh, my gosh.
How much research is required. It takes months of work.
It does. You're not kidding. And unfortunately, the music is telling us we're at the end of our line here. I mean, we wish you all the success, everybody. Smithsonian Channel premieres season two tomorrow night. America in color.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to be
everybody.
There. Get your popcorn.
Yep, you better believe it. And thank you for listening to the Silken Antrim Show. We couldn't do it without all your great listeners, our Main Street team, our distributors at Salem, and everyone who supports us. Thank you so much. Isn't that right, Kathleen?
That's right. God bless America.
Yep. See ya.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.